السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome once again to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. We have Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas online with us right now, who is all the way in Zimbabwe. And we are calling Mufti direct live from Zimbabwe. And inshallah, as usual, you can be call us on 854-1548. Our lines are open, 011-854-1548. The mobile number for tonight is 084-651-6531. That number once more, 084-651-6531. If anybody has any other questions that you would like to email us, you can email us on air@radioislam.co.za. We'll be going live to Mufti Saab now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah, Mufti Saab. And how is Zimbabwe?
Alhamdulillah, it's quite hot here.
Gee. MashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring you back safely, inshaAllah.
Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah, Mufti Saab. Taking the first questions today, we have quite a few questions coming in about the Hajj. We have a first question here, Mufti Saab. A lady phoned in earlier on, and in the week also she phoned, she asked a question. So she said that she was accredited to go for the Hajj this coming year. But if she won't be able to make 40 Salah in Medina, Munawwara. But because of this, she doesn't want to go for Hajj now. Is it permissible or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, understand something, that when a person needs to go for Hajj and it is obligatory, then Madinatul Munawwara is not a precondition for Hajj. To go to Madinatul Munawwara is not faraz wajib for validity of Hajj. But our packages are designed in such a way that we generally go to Medina first and then come to Makkatul Mukarrama. That is why the South African generally makes Tamattu Hajj. So this lady who has been accredited for Hajj and now cannot spend 40 Salats in Masjid-e-Nabwi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that lady should not worry about it. Because to perform 40 Salat in Masjid-e-Nabwi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not faraz, is not wajib, is not sunnat. There is great fazail in it, a lot of virtues in it. Hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it means that if you perform 40 Salat in Masjid-e-Nabwi, that means wud, takbir, tahrima, then you will be, inshallah, getting rewarded three times. Freedom from the punishment of Jahannam, freedom from Nifaq, and freedom from general punishment. So this lady should not worry. She should proceed for Hajj, especially when she has now managed to get accreditation from Sauk. So she should go on and make the Hajj and not be perturbed by the fact that she cannot make 40 Salat in Masjid-e-Nabwi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whatever amount of salat she can make there, make it. See.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Saab. Taking the next question now. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Is it permissible to perform salah on a musalla which has patterns depicting the human or animal faces? Mufti Saab, I think let's take the caller. We have one caller first. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum.
What was the musalla tonight?
I'm not quite sure. You can call in 854-7022.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Jim, if it's up. Okay, the question is, Assalamu alaikum, is it permissible to perform salah on a musalla which has patterns depicting the human or animal faces? He says some of these musallas can be found in the Johannesburg area.
That is not a musalla. That person who has printed that musalla which has got human faces and human pictures on the musalla is actually not a musalla. They are trying to make a mockery of deen. And the musalla that has got animals on it, that is not a musalla, that's a carpet, or fancy carpet, that we should not be regarding that as a musalla. And if some person is selling it as a musalla, unfortunately he is deceiving the Muslim public. We should be not utilizing that as a musalla. It is definitely makruh to use such a carpet, such a cloth as a prayer mat. Initially, we should be clear that that is not a musalla. Discard it, do not use it.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question now. We have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum, please explain why belly dancing is haram and from which historic period does it originate?
Say question slowly.
Please explain why belly dancing is haram.
Belly dancing.
And from which historic period does it originate?
Okay. As far as history records, that this could be from the Mughal Empire, if you're looking at the Eastern Hemisphere, and if you're looking, it could have started from the times of the Pharaoh. And which saying Muslim, forget any Morana or Mufti, is going to say belly dancing is permissible? What is happening to the Ummah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they want us to legalize belly dancing now? And they want the Mufti to say belly dancing is permissible. Belly dancing is for the Fasik and the Fujar. It's for the evil livers and the evil doers and the transgressors and the disobedient people. This will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, if you study the signs of Qiyamah, the minor signs, beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken of this age, their dancing will increase, music will increase, and female dancers will increase. And playing and listening to musical instruments will increase. This is a haram activity, bringing the wrath of Allah Jalla Majdahu.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question now. We have a question, SMS question saying, my mother passed away about 2 months ago. She had an estate which my sister had control. Now when we ask about the inheritance, she just says that her husband is busy with this. What must I do? Because I don't want to have any problems with my sister.
The mother passed away. The sister is controlling the assets. And now she is holding on to the assets. She does not want to leave it. Every time they approach her, she says, no, it's under review. The sister, unfortunately, is dragging her feet. And this is a major problem amongst Muslims, that we do not understand, first of all, that a Muslim should not sleep without a proper Islamic Sharia will for more than 3 days. And especially those who are going for Hajj, they should leave a will behind. And also carry one Musafir, temporary traveler's will also, in case they pass away there. Also, this case here, the question on hand, the sister, you should put pressure on her. You, the son, call some ulama ikram in between. Bring some reliable, influential people in between. The estate of your mother definitely needs to be rounded up. And your sister, by dragging feet, is suppressing and oppressing and is becoming unjust. Because there are people who are entitled to the wealth and who are being deprived at this stage. The longer you take in distributing the assets, the more difficult it will become in future. Just now there will be another law coming up concerning that will, on which value of money must we distribute the will. So by dragging the feet, by wasting time, this is not conducive to the Sharia. This is not conducive to the text and spirit of Sharia.
Jazakumullah, Mufti Sahib, for that. We have one announcement just to remind, tell the listeners out there that the moon was sighted. The moon was sighted, and a lot of people were phoning in early on to ask about the sighting of the moon. The moon has been sighted. Taking the next question, just to remind our listeners that our lines are open, 854-1548. Our mobile number, 084-651-6531. That number once more, 084-651-6531. Taking the next question now, Assalamu alaikum, is zakat payable on monies made from music CD sales that are not recordable, and is this sole source of income?
Zakat will be payable on that.
Jazakumullah, Mufti Sahib, for that. Taking the next question now, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib, can interest money be used to buy cakes for a Hindu neighbor's engagement party?
First of all, what you want to do in the engagement party? Secondly, why you want to go for the Hindu's engagement party? Thirdly, that how you became so friendly that those inviting you for such a function. And now, fourthly, you want the Mufti to say, use interest money and buy cakes and give it to the Hindus. What are you trying to do? Unfortunately, they are trying to say us that we must buy now cakes for the party utilizing interest money. This is absolutely not permissible. You should, if you want to give them some present due to some other reason, and we should, as Muslims, realize celebration of birthdays is not proven in the Sharia. Celebration of Muslim personalities' birthdays is not proven. So why must we participate and encourage the celebration of birthday parties of even Hindus? We should not be participants of such functions.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahab. Taking the next question now, we have an SMS question saying, can my sister who is divorced, she has a child, and can she stay with me and my husband and my children? We have no parents and she is not working.
Your sister, the question is, sister is divorced, she got a child.
Gee, and she stayed with the lady and her husband.
And now, who wants to call them to the house?
I think the sister.
The sister.
Gee.
Okay. If the sister is destitute, poor, needy, and does not have sufficient funds to maintain her own rental, lights, water, etc., then if they take her in the house, they should maintain strict laws of hijab. If they do not maintain strict laws of hijab, then it will mean that one man is looking at two sisters. One, that is his own wife, and then he's looking at the wife of his sister. And this is absolutely haram. And it will lead to fitna and fasad. We are unfortunately living in the age of immorality, immodesty, and unfortunately, sin is perpetrated openly, and shaitan works in very nefarious ways. So we should be extremely cautious. On one hand, we want to help them, and it is permissible to do so, provided the laws of hijab, separation of gender is maintained. Then, inshallah, you'll help. Allah Jalla Majdahu will reward tremendously. If you cannot maintain the laws of hijab, that instead of doing good, it may just result in gross violation of the laws of hijab. Subsequently, immorality can take place.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahab. We have one caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think we just lost the caller. Do we have any other callers? Yes, we have one other caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum, sir.
Yes, sister.
I wanted to ask a question. If you have a 24-carat gold chain and a 18-carat gold ring, right, can you pay zakat? Just both of it. Can you pay zakat?
Can you pay zakat?
Yeah.
Okay, jazakallah for this. That's all you have?
And another question is that if maybe Milana will say you have to or something, and then if you're not working or anything, and you don't have any income, can you still pay? And if somebody gave it to you?
Okay.
Okay.
What's the last part of her question?
Okay.
The second part of the question.
No, the last part of her last part of her second question.
Sister, you still there?
Yes.
The last part of the last question was?
The last question.
Yes.
If you don't have money to pay your own zakat, what will you do?
The last question was that if maybe you don't have any income and everything and someone gave it to you, can you still pay zakat?
Someone gave what to you?
The gold and the ring chain.
Okay, I understand now. Right, okay. I'll answer, inshallah.
Okay.
Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum,
sir.
Both zakat is obligatory. So she will evaluate it and pay zakat on it. That's one. Secondly, if she does not have liquid, she does not have currency, then she must sell that gold, become liquid, and pay the zakat. Non-payment of zakat brings the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And irrespective, because the last portion she said, someone gifted her or someone gave her the 24-carat bracelet and 18-carat ring, irrespective whether it was given to her or whether she herself purchased it, it is in her milkiyat. It is in her possession. Because it is in her milkiyat and possession, she will have to pay zakat on it. if she does not have money, she has to sell either the bracelet or the ring and pay the zakat. Another method is she can borrow money and pay the zakat. But zakat, she has to pay.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Going on to the next question now. We have a question here. Is it permissible for Hanafis to eat calamari, prawns, oysters or mussels?
The research of the Muftis who stay along the coast, they have the view that what has been mentioned, prawns, calamari, etc., is permissible to eat. The Hanafi Muftis that stay inland generally have the view that it is makruh. So we will say, and I have mentioned that Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib, the Darul Uloom Shaykhul Hadith, Azadville, has written a whole thesis on this, that proving that the prawns, etc., are permissible according to the Hanafi fiqh. So we regard it as permissible.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question, just to remind listeners, our lines are open, 854-1548. And our mobile number for tonight is 084-651-6531. Going on to the next question now that we have an SMS question here. I think we have one caller online. Let's take the caller first. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, brother?
Assalamu alaikum to Mufti. Two questions. One is, if I stay with my brother, you know, and my sister, and my wife, now, is my wife, you know, has she got the right to see to my brother, like, you know, to, you know, prepare food for him, give him first food, and see that he eats first? I'm the youngest, you know, he's the eldest. Is it permissible in Islam or what? Another question is, if I pass away, how long must my wife stay in the house? You know, if can she leave same time to her parents, or you know, what happens then?
Okay, well, Mufti Sahib will answer you on it. JazakAllah for your brother. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Mufti Sahib, the first question was if the brother is staying with his brother and sister.
The brother is staying with his brother
and sister in one house, and he says that.
Hold on. The brother is staying with who?
He's staying with his brother and his sister in one house.
Right.
That means two brothers and one sister stay in one house. And the brother is called in. He said his wife sees to the rights of the husband's brother. Is this permissible or not?
As long as the wife is cooking, and inshallah, if they are in agreement. So basically, there is one brother and his wife is cooking for the other brother and the sister. That would be permissible if they have understood and they are mutually understanding. It will be permissible for the sister-in-law to cook for her brother-in-laws and her sister-in-law. That is permissible. However, that this should not lead to oppression and not suppression and not fighting and quarreling. By mutual love and affection, the brother-in-law should be fed, the sister-in-law should be fed. If the brother-in-law dies, the second question, then she can stay in that home provided the laws of hijab are maintained. But in our country, unfortunately, in noble so-called houses, the law of hijab is not maintained. So in this case, it will be better to go to a mother's house and make her iddat and spend her iddat, because the law of hijab will be flagrantly destroyed. So in that case, it is better to go to a mother's house if he dies, to her mother's house if he dies, to spend her iddat.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question now, SMS question, is it permissible for men to wear rings? Mufti Sahib, I think we have two more callers online. You want to take the calls first?
Take the calls first.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I have two questions, Mufti Sahib.
Go ahead.
The first question is, is it permissible to keep snakes that are home snakes, meaning that they don't have any harmful effects like poisoning or venomous, etc.? And the second question I have, is it permissible for men to wear chains, whether it be silver or gold chains? And if it's not permissible, is the income earned from that halal? Jazakallah.
Okay. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. Let's take the next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
You are writing it down, Murana.
Yes, I'm writing it down. Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
I did not pick up the question. It's quite
okay,
clear.
Okay, sir. Yes, sir.
I think the other question.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I'd like to ask Mufti Saab, what is the difference between dua and fatiha? Because, to me, fatiha is a dua. So I don't know what is the big issue when people make, don't read fatiha, just make dua. But the same content. So I'd like Mufti Saab to comment on this.
Okay, Abba, JazakAllah for that. Jee Mufti Saab, let's take the second question first.
Repeat the first question, I did not hear.
Okay, the first question was, is it permissible to keep snakes as pets if they are non-poisonous?
Oh, is it permissible to keep snakes if they are not poisonous?
Gee.
So the rule about keeping animals as pets is very simple, that animal which can be habituated and restricted, then it is permissible to keep that animal as a pet. But the second rule, anything, any animal you keep, if you do not feed it and care for it, then expect in your lifetime the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. Forget anything else. In your lifetime, the person who ill-treats the animal, then you will get punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Islam is such a beautiful deen that we worry about the rights of even animals. Forget the human beings. So if it is permissible to keep that snake and it is not harmful and you can fulfill its rights, then it will be permissible. However, it is better to abstain. And better to abstain will we be inclined towards.
Jazakumullah. The next question that the sister had was, can men wear chains, whether they are gold or not? And in the same question, is the income from that chains halal or not?
Men, first of all, wearing chains. Remember the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that curse upon the female that imitates the male. Curse upon the male that imitates the female. Now, unfortunately, men, they have begun to wear earrings, colored glasses, streaking their hair, wearing bangles and necklaces, and wearing bracelets. They're looking like hermaphrodites. And this is bringing the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Men should abstain from wearing bracelets, etc., and haram to wear for men gold bracelets or gold rings. Selling of gold bracelets, permissible. Selling of gold rings, permissible.
JazakAllah. So the second question on the Fatiha.
Oh, the sister asked that what is the difficulty and what is the difference between Fatiha and Dua? Some say Dua, some say Fatiha. First of all, understand something, that the original is Surah Fatiha. The people confuse Surah Fatiha with Dua. And because, technically speaking, Surah Fatiha is in itself a Dua. So generally, certain places where they say make Dua, meaning make Dua. And other places, they say, make Fatiha, same thing. So they interchange these words. So we should not roll our sleeves for this and pull out our hair. If in a place they said, make Fatiha, make Fatiha, make Dua. If they say, make Dua, make Fatiha, no problem. Don't get so cross about it.
JazakAllah Mufti for that. Going on to the next question now. We have a question very similar to the one we had on the call. Is it permissible for men to wear rings? I know gold is haram, but what about white gold, sterling silver and platinum?
Gold ring for men is haram. Whether it is white gold, whether it is Dubai gold, whether it is India gold, whether it is blue gold, whether it is gold from Italy. Anyway, gold is gold. Gold is haram for men. Platinum also haram for men to utilize.
Yes. JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. We have a very interesting question here. Okay, let's take the question. Many ulama have views on the time for the coming of Imam Mahdi. Some have mentioned that he is born. How, as Muslims, will we know what time he, what the time when he will come or not?
As far as Imam Mahdi coming, then sadly enough, there were certain ulama who were viciously and vehemently propagating and preaching the view that he is coming in 2003. Then they postponed his coming to 2004. Then they postponed his coming to 2005. And very sadly enough, that they were saying to the other ulama ikram that we are not making proper research. Understand about Imam Mahdi. First of all, on the, over the radio station, our tapes are available. I've spoken about coming of Imam Mahdi for 6 hours. So those who are interested can purchase the tapes of Radio Islam. We have discussed the minor signs and coming of Mahdi. On our website, alislam.co.za, there are various kitabs on Mahdi. One is one kitab, the authentic ahadiths concerning the Khilafatul Mahdi by Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madini, Rahmatullah Alayh. And one is by Maulana Badr Alam Rahmatullah Alayh, The Role of Mahdi. So these two kitabs will outline the ahadiths which refer to the coming of Mahdi. As far as Mahdi coming, beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not specify any time. When our Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has kept it majhul, unknown, why must we specify any time? Why must we peg any time? And those that think that when Imam Mahdi comes, then are under the impression that he will come with a magic wand and start winning battles for the Muslims. That also is wrong. We cannot even get up properly to go for Fajr Salat and we're making dua that Mahdi comes. When Mahdi comes and he calls for jihad, then what are we going to do? So on one side, yes, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us victory. Oh. But definitely Mahdi, he, when he's coming, no one knows. And when he comes, inshallah, the whole entire world will know.
Jazakumullah for that. Taking the next question, just to remind listeners, lines are open, 8541548. Our number is 084-651-6531. Can you please elaborate on the spirit, ruh, and the nafs, and the difference between the two?
As concerning the ruh, concerning the nafs, concerning the spirit. Now, these words can be interchangeable and can be separatable. Every human being, Muslim, non-Muslim, young, old, male, female, has got a body and a soul. And the soul we call ruh. And in Islam, the soul is attached all the time to the body. Except when a person is sleeping, then the soul leaves the body but is in contact, like how I am in contact with you from Harare, then telephonically we are in contact. When a person is sleeping, the soul moves. And the soul actually has come from Alam-e-Arwah, the realm of souls. From there, the soul has come into the womb of the mother. Then from there, at 120 days, it enters the womb of the mother, then comes into the Alam-e-Dunya. From there, the soul will go to the Alam-e-Barzakh. From there, the soul will go either to Illiyin, Sijiyin, or Araf. After accountability, inshallah, we'll go to Jannah, and we make dua that we do not go to Jahannam. So the soul is delicate issue, and to understand it, we must realize you have to be quite a very big scholar to understand it, let alone explain it. As far as the nafs is concerned, the nafs is the inner desires, whims, fancies, instigated and propelled, nourished by shaitan. And the desires have to be controlled. The nafs is the inner satanic qualities and inner satanic energies in man that drives man to sin. So nafs is different, soul is different, soul and ruh is the same thing.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahab. We have another call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jesus, sir.
I'd like to know, I have two questions. I'd like to know when we have a mayat and the men have to come and pick out the mayat to make a dua. Once they pick out the mayat and the men are proceeding to Kabistan, a female is appointed at the house to make dua. Is that permissible?
Okay.
And the second question is, Faisal is the wife, a woman is experiencing haze. And can she read the three kuls? And
okay.
Surah Fatiha.
Okay.
Second question, Mulana, you got it?
Second question, Ji.
You got it?
Ji.
Did you hear the second question?
The second question I heard him. Okay,
Jazakallah,
sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Can I answer?
Ji, Mufti Sahib.
First of all, when there is a mayat in the house, and now they have come to take the mayat, and the sister says that a lady is appointed to make dua, so that the mayat is taken out of the house, that is not substantiated in Sharia. And even if a male makes it too, that's also not substantiated. The mayat will be lifted from the house and taken directly for performance of Salat e Janaza, and Salat e Janaza in itself is a dua for the mayat. Now, to make dua before picking up the mayat from the house, to make dua outside the house, to make dua before you put the mayat in the van, and then to make dua on entry of the Kabistan, and to make dua after Salat e Janaza, that all is not proven. We humbly request, if someone can bring only one hadith to prove that such a dua was made during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they should abstain from making that dua. Second one, Mulana.
Second question was, if a woman has a haid, can she send Isa al-Thawab, for example, reading three quls?
If the woman has haze, can she read Surah Ikhlas three times and make Isa al-Thawab? She should not do that.
Okay.
She can make nafil, zikr, make some zikr, give some charity, and then make dua. She does not have to necessarily read something and make dua for Isa alayhi salam. Sawab. She can lift her hands in that state of haze and make dua for the mayat. Ji.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. We have another call online. Assalamu alaikum. Jesus, sir.
Yeah, a wife accused her husband of being rude on the phone. She pointed it out to him. And he, in order to prove that he wasn't, he took a qasam of talaq. So I want to know, what does that mean?
Okay.
And how would we know if what was the truth and if the talaq has taken place or not?
Okay.
Hold on.
Are you still there?
This qasam of talaq they took. Can you explain this qasam of talaq?
I don't know what it is. That's why I want to know what is it. Because he said, I'll take the lack of custom to prove that he wasn't. That if I was wrong, then it will be like a talaq.
Okay, I'll answer, inshallah.
JazakAllah for that, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Can I answer? No caller?
Gee, no callers.
Okay, see, first of all, we'll advise the husbands. Yeah, the wife said something, and the husband has said something at least, and then the wife is denying, then the husband is saying, I take qasam of talaq that you said it. Now on talking, on verbal discussions, issue and qasam of talaq is being taken. This is not conducive. This is not good. This is not healthy for marital relationship. On petty things, the husband want to divorce his wife. They have to have trust between each other. The husband has to trust the wife, and the wife has to trust the husband. Now on mere guftagu and talking, the husband wants to start divorcing the wife. What kind of a husband is this? That on just mistrusting his wife, he wants to divorce her. Now the question is not clear, because I cannot understand qasam of talaq. What this husband means by qasam of talaq. This husband should be told by the wife, go to your local mufti there, present the case to him, and he must hear it, and then he can make a ruling. Difficulty arises, inshallah we can be consulted.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question now, we have an SMS question saying, why will a woman not smell the fragrance of Jannah if she asks her husband for a divorce after an argument?
Why will a woman not smell the fragrance of Jannah if she asks her husband for talaq?
Ji.
See, that first of all understand that hadith. The hadith is referring to ask you of talaq unjustly. Now, doesn't mean the husband is beating the wife, swearing her, hitting her, not maintaining her, ill-treating her. Then it doesn't mean that she must take all this abuse. It doesn't mean that the wife must sit down in the corner and get all this pulping and battering. It doesn't mean that the wife must get all this abuse, verbal abuse. Yes, and if he's not maintaining her, he's not maintaining her monetarily, he's not fulfilling her marital rights, then if she has got valid Shari grounds for divorce, she can ask for it. Then that hadith does not apply to her. What this hadith is talking about, and it's talking about our age, that when after 1 week of marriage, you'll see the wife say, oh, my husband, he cannot buy bottled water, I want to divorce. We have hearing these cases, that the husband and wife, they go to another country to spend 1 week after the marriage, and then the wife is told by the husband, you cannot pack the bag properly, you go home. Now, and the wife says, you cannot buy me what my father bought me, I want divorce. In that case, when the wife is demanding divorce for a shari unjust reason, then she will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. Not when she is justified. Islam is a just deen. Islam is not unjust. If the husband is ill-treating the wife and the husband is verbally abusing the wife then and not maintaining her, she is justified in calling for separation and dissolution.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahab. Taking the next question now. We have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. If one has elderly parents and they cannot read Quran in Arabic, is it permissible for me to khatam a Quran on their behalf? And do I get a reward for it or not?
If the person says he's got elderly parents and they can't read Quran, now he wants to make khatam Quran and make give them the sawab, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will reward him for that. And when he does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his treasures are unlimited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help that person and will reward him in this world, in the Qabr and the Akhirat. That he wants to make Quran. Remember, recitation of Quran is a permissible action, is a mubah action. And by him reading the entire Quran and giving the sawab to his parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on him and his parents. However, what he should do, yes, he is saying his parents cannot read Quran, so at least let them listen to Quran. So he should let them buy some CD, tape, and let them listen to Quran little bit a day, so that they get sawab for listening to Quran. Recitation of Quran, we get sawab. And listening to Quran, we also get sawab. So then, do not deprive them of getting sawab for listening also. But the action that this brother is doing is highly recommendable, rewardable, laudable.
Jazakumullah Mufti Sahab for that. We have another call online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Maulana, I just wanted to ask you, I've got a cousin that's getting talaq now, right? Apparently, his wife was dishonest, stating she was having other marital affairs with some other men. In their marriage, right?
Okay.
But he went to the Jamia trying to get a hold of the children to see the kids, and it's been 3 months now. But he was not allowed to see the children. On that status where she's got him under police, you know, like a protection order against the children.
Okay.
So he can't see the children, but she's gone, like, out of her way to be, like, dishonest. And her talaq, the last 2 weeks has just fallen now. But she's already involved with another man.
Okay, so Abba, what's your question to Mufti Sahab?
I just want to know, what does he do in order to see the children? Because already the man is dictating to him that he can't see the kids.
Okay, Abba, Mufti Sahab will answer on A, inshallah.
Okay.
JazakAllah. Ji, Mufti Sahab, any comments on that?
What was the question?
The question was that lady says that her cousin was on the verge of talaq, and one talaq happened already, and the father doesn't have rights to see the children. He went to the jamiat, and the jamiat got involved, but thereafter he had no rights still to see the children. What must he do to acquire his children? Because the wife is dishonest and she's having affairs with other men.
So the wife has been proven she's having an affair with someone else.
She said this was the sister said that she is having an affair with someone else.
And the husband has issued the talaq.
Gee.
And there are children involved.
Gee, there are children involved.
So what's the question?
What must she do? How must the husband get to see the children because he can't?
Okay. Now understand something. So first of all, that it is absolutely sad to hear that a married lady is having extramarital affairs. And the Jamiat, remember, cannot issue a legal South African ruling. They can mediate, arbitrate, and encourage that the husband can see the children. The wife should give visitation rights. And unfortunately, now the husband will have to go through the court to try to get visitation rights, and he is going to prove that his ex-wife is immoral and not capable of taking care of the children. However, it is very sad also to know that this lady has got divorced. If this case is true, I am answering on what I am hearing. I do not know the reality of the case. If she is, after getting divorced, she is still running around with that man in a iddat period, that is a major sin. Also, Sharia says the custody of the children belongs to the woman, the ex-wife, provided her character is upright and she is pious and righteous. If she is immoral and she cannot care for the children, she'll have to hand the children over to the husband. Come what may, custody of the children will go to the husband when the children become baligh. Once the children become baligh, of age, difference for boy and girl, then the right of custody will go to the husband, provided also he is sane and modest and is able to bring up the children Islamically.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question now. We have a question here explaining a dream. Mufti Sahib, please explain me the dreams in clouds that are low and all the same size and the bottom row another color, brown. So it says, Mufsa, please explain me the dream. Seeing clouds that are low and all the same size, and the bottom row another color, and that is brown. Ma for the trouble.
I think they correct by saying ma for the trouble, because I stated that this is a Q&A program, not an interpretation of dreams program.
Exactly.
I'm not here sitting interpreting dreams. However, that unfortunately, that the person is prevented from having good company. This person here should immediately take stock of who that person is befriending. And those who are befriending this person are actually detrimental, whereas this person has the ability to befriend better people.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question, we have quite a few SMSs coming in. We have one question here. It says, is there a hadith on... We have a question on the screen in front of us. Is there a hadith to this effect that if a couple share a comb, this created hate, this creates hatred and jealousy between them?
There is a book. I do not want to quote the name of the book, and I do not want to quote the name of the author. That author has written, if the husband and the wife share the same comb, then it causes disunity. There is no such hadith.
Jazakumullah for the Mufti Sahib. We have another question on the screen. I don't quite understand this question. It says, the caller asked that, is it true that besides Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's two eyes and ears, that he has two eyes and two ears on his heart, and he can see everything and hear everything throughout the entire universe?
Whilst Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, there are authentic narrations proving and substantiating that he was able to see even front and back. Currently, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Hayatul Nabi. He is alive in the grave, but he does not know what the questioner is talking about, that he sees the entire world. That is a fallacious belief.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question now. A man inherits gold jewelry from his mother. Must he pay zakah or not?
Once he inherits gold jewelry and if he is paying zakat, he will include it in his assets and pay zakat on it. if he was not sahib as zakat and he inherited the jewelry and he maintains and keeps that gold jewelry, and the gold jewelry is above the nisab value, then on holal and whole, completion of one Islamic lunar year, he will pay zakat on that.
Okay, let's go on to the next question now. A brother says, or a sister says, I had a dog and it passed away. While it was alive, I did not fulfill its rights. What can I do now to compensate for my gross negligence?
The person is saying that they had a dog and now the dog died, and whilst the dog was alive, they did not look after the dog. Now they feel feeling guilty. What they should do about it? They should make istighfar now. They should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbatun nasiha, meaning proper, valid, shari tawbah, that they will never again do that sin again. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Inshallah.
JazakumAllah for that. Stop taking the next question now. I think we'll take our last one or two questions now. What does the hadith say about flies, parasites, and other pests? And what happens to the soul of animals?
Say the flies and parasites.
Gee, what does the hadith say about concerning flies, parasites, and other pests?
Any crawling creature which is detrimental to health, life, hygiene can be removed. Animals have souls, but the quality of those souls we do not know. It is stated in a narration that comes in Muslim that on the day of judgment, the animals will take retributions from each other, and after that they will be destroyed. From that we learn that they will be also resurrected. But the level, degree, status, position, strength of the souls, I do not know about.
JazakumAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Taking the next question now. Husband told his wife he divorced her years ago via the court and was still with her. She says she never know because he never give her talaq. Is court divorce accepted or not?
If the husband tells his wife, I divorced you long ago via the court, then this couple should go in front of the alim, because technically speaking, the court divorce is not valid. However, if the husband says, no, I meant it, then the divorce is valid. It will be one divorce. But because it is one divorce, and then he behaved to his wife like how a husband and wife behaved, then there was no need for renewal of marriage. They are still husband and wife.
Okay, so we have one last question. We have a question, SMS question, saying, is it in the Quran that women may not go to Qabristan? And also in today's times, men and women intermingle on the streets, malls, and at work. And they are not completely covered when they go into Qabristan. What is the ruling?
Is it in the Quran that women must not go to the Qabristan? It is not in the Quran that we have to make 2 rakats of Fajr Salat, 4 rakats of Zohar Salat, and 4 rakats of Asr Salat, and 3 rakats of Maghrib Salat, and 4 rakats of Isha Salat. So that's a very stupid question to ask. The Quran is not the only source of jurisprudential derivation in Islam. There are 4 sources of Shariat: Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, and Qiyas. So the Sunnah and Hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that we should not, and we should discourage females from going to the Qabristan. And if they are going to the malls, does not justify that they should go to the Qabristans. Bina alal batil batilun. That one error does not justify the committee of another error. Ji.
JazakumAllah, Mustafa. That brings us to the end of our questions. We don't have any other questions for tonight. Some nasiha advice from your side, Mustafa.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What I would like to say tonight is that there are a lot of now people from other countries coming to our country, and Urdu speaking, Arabic speaking, our ulama ikram, they should now release leaflets not only in the English language but also in the Urdu language and Arabic language also, in simple Urdu language, simple Arabic language, tackling the basic fundamentals of Islam and addressing the issues especially pertaining to the masajid, the rakats of Taraweeh, the wearing of the hat, performance of Salat with short sleeves, because this has now become the order of the day in our masajids, and mostly done by those who are not from our country. So we should now focus on education about them. We should not discard them. And the language that they understand, we should be now taking out some pamphlets in Urdu, simple Arabic, to educate them. Inshallah, they will also come onto the Sunnah of Nabi Akram, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah, Mufti Sahab, for that. Mufti Sahab, can you just stay online? There is somebody that wants to speak to you online, inshallah. Jazakumullah, Mufti Sahab, for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and your family healthy and long lives, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah.